I really have a hard time keeping track of what the date is. I forgot that this is the weekend before the 4th of July. And God just led me to this sermon about God's power bringing freedom. What was it that brought freedom to our nation? It's literally God's power, amen? There's no two ways about it. There's no way that we could have found the freedom that we have in this nation originally if it hadn't been for God's power. And here's the deal, if we ever forget God in it, we'll lose it. We'll lose the freedom as well. And we can see we're already doing that. You know, I was kind of thinking about something today. There was a little story that I've heard, and I think it was kind of a reoccurring story, so I'm not really going to try to put a name to it or anything like that, because I don't really know specific names. But after World War II was over, after there was an agreement that was signed, and there was a full surrender from the Japanese military and their country, their emperor and everything, there were Japanese soldiers that did not have connection back to their original home country. And they had been stationed on these different little islands out in the South Pacific to guard them, and so basically to stay there until they won the war. And they were to guard that island with their life. And, you know, for many years following, people would come upon these little islands, and there would still be these isolated Japanese soldiers that were out there guarding that area. They were basically captive to their own little area there, unable to leave, thinking that they were still doing their job, that they weren't free to go. And I'll be honest with you, I think this happens to a lot of people, even in Christianity. We need to remember that whenever we have Christ, we're free. We're free from the power of sin. We're free from the power of death. We're free to serve God without fear. We are free to move forward boldly. We are free to enjoy the fruit of a true relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm afraid sometimes people get stranded on that island thinking there's still a war going on over their own salvation. What I want you to understand is if Christ lives in you, if the Holy Spirit lives in you, you are free from the power of sin and death. You are free to serve God without any fears whatsoever, because I can tell you there's no weapon that the enemy could bring against you that's going to prevail if you have God in you. God in you, that power. And we find this in chapter 5 of the book of Acts. We're going to last week we dealt with the first part of chapter 5 that has to do with Ananias and Sapphira and how God cleansed his church of this sin of literally lying, the sin of pride, the sin of trying to take over a prominent position in the church and get attention for themselves. And so we understand that in that way, when God's power came upon the church, it brought about a cleansing effect, and literally two people died in the process. And so that was a little bit of a tough sermon to preach, because it there's not a real good feel good to the end of that one. But what we do know is God is in control, and God's power has a cleansing effect. Amen. And that is a good thing. And so we're going to pick it up at verse 12. And this is what we're going to be focusing on from there down. We'll have some of the verses up on the screen as we kind of read through them. But we're going to take a look at when the power of God comes upon this cleansed church. You know, God wants us to be cleansed vessel for him. Can I get an amen to that? He wants not just individuals to be a cleansed vessel. He wants the church to be a cleansed vessel. The church is the bride of Christ. It's the collection of saints. It's the body who is united under Christ as our head. And boy, I'm going to tell you something, guys. When we're submitted to God, power comes upon the church. And so we see here that as they were submitted to God, we read in verse 12, and through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly. And, you know, I underlined a couple little verses there just for emphasis. It's kind of interesting that whenever the power came upon the church, when the power came upon the apostles, We can remember back in chapter 4, they prayed a prayer after they had been drawn in and kept captive for a while. And they prayed not that God would rescue them from the moment, but that God would give them more boldness to speak. And so they went out and they spoke with boldness. And in fact, they, after this cleansing effect went through the church, then they were able to do even greater, mightier signs and wonders among the people. But you look at verse 13, yet none of the rest dared join them. So the apostles put themselves right there in the prominent place at Solomon's porch. That would have been the Solomon's colonnade. It's the outside of the temple. And so that would have been where all the Jews were going to worship, okay, according to the old law, bringing in their sacrifices and everything, still trying to do it by the law of Moses, still trying to find their atonement for sin by righteous deeds, by bringing these sacrifices. And so these apostles, even though they knew that there was opposition, they planted themselves right there to the door of the temple. And they started teaching about Jesus. And I'm going to tell you what, I think with the other believers who were just coming into the faith, this was a little scary to them. So we see that those prominent apostles, they had the boldness that they had gotten because they prayed for boldness. God gave it to them, and they went straight into the lion's den, so to speak, and started preaching right there. Now, there were many other people, as we read on, who were coming, but not everybody, not all of the church was willing to go with them. But, you know, there's something about that. The power was displayed through the ones who went, the ones who showed up. So the fact that they were obedient, they were bold, they took that power that God had gave them and they put it into action, they were bold enough to go there, we see that God did signs and wonders through them. Man, I'm going to tell you something. That's what I want. I want God to do signs and wonders through me. But it means I'm going to have to show up in difficult places and difficult situations, and I'm going to have to use the boldness that God gives me and act on it. And then we'll see great things happen. And I want people to believe. Amen. How many of you guys want the same thing? You want God to use you? We got to show up. It's an important aspect of that.
So let's make sure that we show up to that battle. We're going to read on here just a little bit more. Verse 14. And the believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. Why? Because God was doing these mighty wonders. Because they showed up. They went to that place and they saw. People saw God is real. And they wanted to follow this God that was displaying his power in such a wonderful way. And so they continued to gain more and more believers. And multitudes of both men and women. What does multitude speak to you? It's more than just a couple, right? We're talking about like literally hundreds or even thousands of people. We're already up to over 5,000 at this point. We know that. And then more and more people are being added, right? And then, verse 15, so they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Man, I'm going to tell you something. Peter had such power upon him because of his obedience, his boldness, his love for God, for showing up, that just his shadow was affecting people. Man, that is powerful. Now, some would say, well, this gift ceased and no one can have this gift now. It's not about Peter anyways. It's about the power of God. And God is still that powerful, guys. Whoever he chooses to flow that through, he just does, even today. But it's God that's doing that. It's not Peter. It's God, and it's the presence of God in Peter. I want that kind of power through me. I want that kind of power that God would bestow upon me, mostly so that I would have the boldness to speak as I ought to. Amen? In verse 16, as we continue to read on, says, also a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Isn't that amazing? As the power of God went out in such a powerful, powerful way. Here's the deal, though, guys. We're fixing to go into some area that's going to remind us of another spiritual truth. Whenever we're doing great work for the Lord, it also opens us up for persecution.
I don't know if y'all know this, but when God displays his power, it doesn't always make everybody happy. In fact, some people actually get upset about it because they're scared that God's going to change their life. And there's stuff they're not wanting to get rid of. There's stuff that they're not wanting to be seen. When God comes, he illuminates things. He makes them, he sheds light on darkness. In verse 17, then the high priest rose up. Okay? Who was being lifted up before this? Jesus is lifted up. Jesus is being seen as powerful. And then we see that the high priest rose up. The high priest got jealous. He didn't want Jesus getting all the credit. The high priest wanted all the credit. He wanted all the prominence to be on him because in that temple, he was the top dude. He was the one that had the power. So he rose up and all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation, and they laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. Sadducees were kind of like almost like a political party within the temple worship. And the Sadducees didn't believe in a resurrection. They just flat out didn't even believe a resurrection. Definitely, they didn't believe it happened to Jesus, and they didn't believe it was going to happen for anybody. They just believed once you were dead, I guess. I don't know. And that maybe your soul would go to be with God, but like your body, there was not going to be a resurrection. So they were preaching the resurrection here along with the message of Jesus Christ, and it made them mad. And they wanted to keep their power. And so rather than looking at all the mighty wonders and the miracles, they looked at these guys, and they just decided to put them in prison. Did that mean those guys were doing something wrong? No. No. In fact, it probably means they were doing something right, right? Absolutely. And so whenever the power of God is displayed through us, it's not always going to make everybody happy. How many of you guys like to be popular with other people? I mean, like, I would rather. You know, I raised my hand to that one. I'd rather not have everybody disliking me. That don't feel real good, right? But we got to make up our mind. Do we want to please God or do we want to please people? And so God needs to be number one in that. God was number one for these guys that got them thrown in prison. And I got a feeling that the common prison probably wasn't a real comfortable place to be. Who do you think might have been in the common prison? Bad guys, right? Bad guys. That's where they put bad guys. People that killed other people, people that had a bad attitude and everything else. But at night, verse 19, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, man, think about this. An angel of the Lord opened the prison doors. The power of God brings freedom. The power of God is greater. The power of God is greater than anything that can bind people. So let's just stop for a minute. We got these guys in the common prison. I don't know how your version, you may have a little different version, might read a little differently, but to that, to me, that really speaks something. How many people are in some type of prison that's common to a lot of people in our area? I mean, see a lot of people that are stuck in prisons. They're self-erected prisons sometimes. Bad choices. Bad choices have put a lot of people in prison, right? In a prison all their own. They're stuck there. They don't know how to get out. Name off some of those prisons that people might be stuck in. Drug abuse, that's one that comes. Alcoholism. Theft, yeah. You know, there's some people that are addicted to shoplifting. They don't even need the stuff, but they get stuck in this addiction to shoplifting. Sexual immorality. Keep coming. Unhealthy relationships with other people. I'm getting all of them from the front row here. I need some of you guys out there. Lying. Tell me some other prisons that we might be in. Busyness. Thank you, sister. I was going to say just work. We can be so busy. We can be such a slave to accomplishing some task that we're just stuck. Is anybody a workaholic in this room? We can get so stuck in it. Oh, man, we got people. No, this isn't to judge other people here, guys. This was to raise your hands. Hey, work is a good thing. It's a real good thing. But guys, it can't never come before God, right? It becomes a prison whenever we do that. How about good relationships, but you get them out of kelter, right? Yes.
Somebody told me one time, busy means being under Satan's yoke.
Busy. Being under Satan's yoke. That can be it. We can get so busy, just busy, right? I heard Adrian Rogers one time said, if Satan can't make us bad, he'll just make us busy. Because he'll keep us so busy that we won't serve the Lord, right? Anybody ever find yourself in that mode? Busy mode? It can happen. It can happen to all of us. But you see, guys, that common prison, I want you to know that His power is greater. His power is greater than any prison bars that can be there. I want you to think now, this prison, this common prison that they were thrown in, it had doors. It had locks on it. Like, you would have felt like, okay, I can't get out. Boy, where there was a great need, there's a great God who's even greater, and He brings this great power that's greater than everything else. So whatever may be feeling like it's holding you in right now, fears, right? There's lots of phobias. There's a lot of anxiety out there. There's a whole lot of this stuff. We live in such a fast-paced world that people are slaves just to the clock. You notice, all of a sudden, I got a watch. You guys notice that? Never worn one before in my life. I'm hoping that it'll make me on time. So it's got a little shocker in there whenever it comes close and moves me in the right direction. No, see, the thing of it is, guys, we are so fast-paced that a lot of people are so anxious that we're forgetting something or there's some danger out there that we're a slave to it. But I want you to know, God's power is greater. God's power is greater. Guys, here's the deal. He opens the door to the prison. He opens the doors and He brought them out. You see, He leads us out of it. And then He said, go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of life. And when they heard that, guys, I just want you to know, God's purpose for setting us free is always the advancement of the gospel. God's purpose for setting us free is always to advance the gospel. You see, He sets you free so that then you'll go out and tell everybody why you're free, and you'll celebrate that, and other people will know that they can be free too. And I'm just going to tell you, there's nobody in this world who gets up in the morning and says, I want to be a slave to something. I want to be in captivity today. I want to be in this addictive situation. I want to be a prisoner. There's just like nobody that does that. Okay? Now, inadvertently by bad choices, sometimes it looks like we want to be there, but I'm just telling you, people don't want to be a prisoner. Like Brother Steve, he works in the prison. He brings prison ministry there. He's only got two guys that he works with that even have a chance of getting out. All of them would like to be out. And those ones that have a chance of getting out, man, they're excited about that opportunity. A little scared. We're all a little scared because, you see, sometimes the prison's familiar. We can be a little bit afraid. And I'll tell you what, whenever the prison doors popped open, don't you think these guys were a little afraid? Are you sure about this? Are you really sure? Should we walk out of here? I don't know. But you see, this angel said, here, come on, I'll lead you out. And then he says, go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. I want you to think about that, guys. That was a big call. What happened the last time they spoke at the temple? Can anybody tell me? They got thrown in prison. So what do you think is going to happen when they go back and speak at the temple? Those same people are not going to be happy, right? Yeah, so they may not be real happy about that, but in fact, though, that is their command. So verse 21, when they heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. When did they do it, guys? Did they do it a little bit next week? Did they do it later on that evening? Early in the morning. It means as soon as they had an opportunity, they obeyed God. As soon as they had an opportunity, early in the morning, They had to be a little bit tired, right? They'd just been in prison. They obviously probably were up all night because the doors flew open, and I'm sure that they were a little excited about that. And all I'm telling you is, these guys knew that a miracle had happened to them, and they were wanting to obey God just as quickly as possible. And what did they do? They taught. But the high priest and those who came, those with him came and called the council together with all the elders of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. Well, guess what? When they got to the prison, they found a surprise. But when the officers came and did not find them in the prison, they returned and reported, saying, "Indeed, we found the prison shut securely and the guards standing outside before the doors. And when we opened them, we found no one inside." Now, when the high priest, the captain of the temple, and the chief priests heard these things, they wondered what the outcome would be. So one came and told them, saying, "Look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." Then the captain went with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should be stoned. Who should those leaders have been fearing? They should have been fearing God, because now a miracle had happened, but God wasn't even on their radar screen at this point. They were still just fearing the people. And so they were fearing that they should be stoned if the people got upset with them. Verse 27, when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, "Did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and in tend to bring this man's blood on us." Boy, that's kind of a strange thing for them to say, because actually the blood needed to be covering them, amen? That's the way they would be set free as well. But Peter and the other apostle answered them and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be a prince and savior and give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." So that brings me to the next thought, guys. I'm going to tell you something. For us to see this kind of miracle happen in our lives, God expects obedience. And we see that the obedience was immediate. And even as Peter was brought back in, which was, you know, we all decided, we expected that would happen. What was he? He was still obedient. He was continuing to be obedient. I can tell you, they put him in prison once and the doors flew open. And so they're bringing him back in like they're going to put him in prison again or something. It's like, what good is that going to do you? Because you see, if God wants him to be free to preach the gospel, God will make him free to preach the gospel, because God's power brings freedom. And I can tell you, there, you know, we've got a prayer map where we have different countries highlighted on there where it's illegal to preach the gospel. But I can tell you, God's gospel is free in every one of those nations. Man's law can try to make it against the law, but God is free to go anywhere he chooses, and he'll go through us. You know, we are free to preach in any of those nations. You know, you're free to preach anywhere you are. You are free to take the gospel no matter where you are, guys. God, his power brings freedom. We need to be knowing that, like Peter knew that. You see, Peter knew that because his prison doors came open that night. You know what? Your prison doors need to be open, and you need to know they're open, and then you need to walk out, and then we all need to go forth and take the gospel with us. Don't let anything hold you back from obeying God. You look back at the apostles' prayer, and I'll have it. It's on your sheet there, and it's up on the screen. Acts chapter 4, verses 29 and 30. "Now, Lord, look on their threats." This is the chapter before, last time they got pulled in, the last time that they got rebuked. "And grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." Guys, the people that prayed this are the people who went to Solomon's porch and preached. The people who prayed this, and if you read the rest of that, that God shook the place. He was so pleased by their prayer. His power just came down from heaven on these guys. And they went straight to Solomon's porch and they continued to preach the word of God. So much power upon them that people were being healed by their shadow. I'm talking power here. This is the power of Jesus' name. The same power is available to us today. Guys, you need not fear to knock on anybody's door around here and tell them about Jesus, because I'm just going to tell you, you got the power of God behind you. I can tell you, I've been in some of the neighborhoods. I've seen some of the Rottweilers and the Pit Bulls. Yeah, absolutely. You know what? 10 years of doing it, and I ain't been bit yet. We go. Sometimes the dog's so big trying to climb up on the hood, we'll honk the horn first. See if somebody will come. And I always do say something when I get out of the car just to make sure that any dogs in the yard are on a chain. You know, I'm not stupid about it, but what I'm telling you is you don't need to fear. God keeps us. God goes with us. God blesses us. And I have had some of the most blessed meetings with people going out to meet them. You know, your neighbors are just people. And some of them are really wonderful people that don't know Jesus. Some of them are people that are caught up in all kinds of messes, and they need help. We got people of all kinds living around us, but I'll tell you one thing I do know about all those people. Jesus loves them, and he died for them, and he died to set them free. And that's what they need, is the message of the gospel to be set free. And guess what? We are the people that God chose to do it. Praise the Lord. That is an honor, a blessing for us to be chosen. Now when we show up, we will get the power of God. I want you to think about that prayer. They didn't ask to be taken out of the situation. They asked to have boldness that they might speak His word into the situation. God's word is for every situation. In fact, when we look at Paul, I can't think of anybody that's a better example of a guy who really wanted God's power upon him and he lived it out. Let's look at what he kind of what they were praying for him, the kind of prayer that he was asking for in Philippians 1, 19 through 21. He says, "For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance." He was sitting in prison when he wrote this, guys. "Through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death." He don't know if he's going to live or die in this situation. He just wants Christ to be glorified. That's his prayer. "For to me, to live is Christ." Let's read that part together. "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Man, I'm telling you, I don't think anybody could have put it any better than the Holy Spirit said it through Paul right there. That needs to be the creed of every Christian individual who lives. "Is for me to live is Christ and to die is gain." That means if I live, it's for Christ. If I die, that's actually the best thing that can happen to me. Because I'm going to go be with Him. It's awesome. I'm going to be with Jesus the moment I close my eyes in this world. Praise God. Again in Philippians 1, verses 27 through 29. "Only," okay, so with all that being said, "only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ." So the way we live needs to be worthy of this gospel, this good news, "so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." I say, Paul's saying this to us today, Cadet Baptist Church. This is his word to us. This is what the Holy Spirit is saying to us through Paul. "And not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition." Perdition means destruction. Guys, they're terrified whenever they see the work of God because they know it's going to bring the things that they think they want so bad to destruction. I see it in their eyes. I used to feel that way. When my wife got saved, it scared me to death. I'm just being honest. I came in the door that day and I looked at my wife and she was different. And I said, "What is up?" And she said, "I gave my heart to Jesus today." And I went, "Oh no! This is going to ruin all my plans. It takes my life away. I know. I've heard about this Jesus guy. He just wants to take your fun away." No, he don't. Jesus wanted to give me more fun than I've ever known in my life, but I was too scared to receive it that day. You know, guys, you may go to the same person's house 10 times, and they may still have that fear. And on the 11th time, God will overcome the fear in their heart. Don't give up. Keep going. He doesn't want us to be terrified at all by any of our adversaries. Who's the biggest adversary? The devil. Don't be terrified by him. He's a liar. It's the only power he's got. He's a liar. He lies to everybody. And guys, you know why he's so terrified? Because he knows whenever God's people pray and go, his kingdom tumbles. And he hates that. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the true church. Because to him, it's a sign of his destruction. But to you, of salvation, and that from God. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. What does my suffering look like in this day and age? It looks different than Peter's did. But I am called to suffer. Maybe my suffering is just the burden on my heart for all of you and for all of those on the outside that we need to reach. I don't know, but I do know one thing. Jesus saved me, and he deserves my everything. And he deserves it. And so I'm going to do my best to live with conduct worthy of the gospel of Christ. Do I do it perfectly? No, you all know that. You know me. I'm just a human being, and I mess up. But guys, we're all in this together. Let's keep going forward with Christ. Let's continue to strive toward him. Here's the deal. We're called to believe. We're also called to suffer for his sake. It's going to cost us something. And the thing of it is, we can't have one without the other. We just can't. If we want grace and power, we must commit fully to Christ. We got to give it all, guys. He don't just want your half. He don't just want your three quarters. He don't just want your 7/8. He wants 100% of who you are. Bumps, bruises, mess, and everything, he'll take it all, and then he'll begin to help you straighten it out and live it for him and use it for him. How about those guys in the prison that Steve ministers to? Some of those guys have got amazing things in their past that they are not proud of. But I'll tell you one thing, when they use it and they tell the truth about what Christ has saved them from and what he's done in their lives, it's powerful. It helps break the chains off of other people. Your personal testimony is amazing, every one of you, no matter where you come from. If you're the one that got saved at 7, never left the faith, continues to live for Christ, that's powerful. That breaks chains off other people. You're the one who came late in life and you had a lot of sin behind you. That's powerful. It breaks the chains off of people, but you got to commit fully to Christ. Otherwise, they can see we're a hypocrite, and that don't mean nothing. Guys, you need to, number two, you need to show up for the challenge. Remember, the power of God only came on the ones that showed up. We got to show up for the challenge. We got to be willing to suffer. Are you willing to suffer? Nobody wants to. I didn't say, do you want to suffer? I asked, are you willing to, for Jesus' sake? Are you willing to do hard things? Are you willing to be obedient to God? And I don't mean tomorrow, and I don't mean a week from now. I mean today, right now. If he asks you to do something, are you willing? Are you willing to give him the glory? Now, the last one, this is the good one. Are you willing to experience freedom to follow Christ? That's what we all want, that freedom, amen? We got a whole Independence Day that's set aside to talk about the day that our founding father said we want freedom and we're willing to die for it. Now the question is, are we willing to die to Jesus so we can have it? Because real freedom comes from Christ. Real freedom comes from Christ. What's the opposite of freedom? Bondage. Being bound. Right? Anybody ever experienced that? Being a slave to sin? The Bible says we all have. We couldn't get out of it on our own. You see, the opposite of freedom is bondage. Bondage too. We're just going to throw a few things out there. Some of us can be in bondage to personal preferences of life. I know this might freak people out. This ain't whether or not you just like tea or coffee better, okay? It's whether or not because you like tea better than coffee, then it totally ruins your life if you're in a coffee shop to minister to somebody. I mean, that I know it sounds really strange or weird, but you know, there are people that refuse to go do missions for God because they may not have the exact food that they like to eat. I say that's a bad choice. I mean, like, I'm all about my food being a certain way, but we got to kind of give up some of our personal preferences. How about the kind of bed you might sleep on? Now, I know some people have medical conditions, you know, your back might hurt or something like that. I'm not knocking anything, but what if it's just a preference? I think we got to be willing to give it all to Christ, don't you think? And I think some people are so bound by that that they literally are almost a slave to their own personal preferences about things. You know, what time I take my shower and what time I do this and what time I do that. It's one thing to have habits in our life, but some of us are bound by those. We're a slave in our own little world. God don't want you to have to be like that. He don't want you to be bound by various fears and phobias. You know, God wants to set you free from all that. I used to be scared to death of heights. You could not get me more than 5 foot off the ground, and I started feeling woozy and gross. And I went on a mission trip, and they brought a bucket truck in that stretched up to 45 feet, and they said, here, we want you to get in that and go up there and cut those tree limbs off. God helped me get over it. He don't want you to be in bondage to prejudices, hatreds, or unforgiveness either, guys. That's slavery. He don't want you to be bound by sins, habits, and addictions. Do y'all know that? He don't want you to be bound by selfishness and self-centeredness either. Let us, above all, as God's people, be set free. Amen? We need to be free. And I love this scripture that we're going to end on, because this just wraps it all up. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Don't let anything in your life keep you from serving God. Give it all to Him, and then you'll be free. Give it all to Him, and then you'll be free. Do you want freedom today? Some of you may never have stepped into a relationship with Christ. Maybe today is the day for you to give your life to Christ. Trust Him. Don't be afraid of what's going to happen next. Just trust Him. He wants your good. And if you'll trust Him, I'll guarantee you, you'll find freedom on the other side. I did. That's how I can guarantee it. Because I didn't think that's what I was going to find. I finally let my life get in such a shambles that it was like I had nothing to lose. And I went ahead and said, okay, whatever. And what I found was freedom on the other side. I want you to have that freedom. If the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. Let's pray. Dear God, during this time of invitation, there may be all kinds of different things that people are wanting to be set free from in this church. It might be freedom from sin in the first place unto salvation. Let them come forward. We'll pray together. They can start that relationship with you. That's what it's about, is a relationship with Jesus. That's where the power comes from. Lord, maybe it's a habit or an addiction or a just whatever it may be that's holding them back. Fears, anxieties. Bring it to the altar today, Lord. If they'll bring it here, you'll help them. If we just take that step towards you, you're ready and waiting. You want us to be free. Oh, Lord Jesus Christ, make us free indeed. That's what we need. Maybe it's a sickness, Lord. Maybe it's a bad relationship. I don't know, but I know that you're the answer. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Let's all rise for song. Like this, and let God have whatever He chooses to take. If we hold it like this, and He's got to take it, it's going to hurt a lot worse. Hold it all like this. God's good. I want you to know God loves you. He loves every one of you. He loves us all. With love like we can't even imagine, He wants what's best for us. If we'll just do what He says, we can get there so much faster, so much easier, so much less fight. I found out what was wearing me out so much was that I was wrestling against God. And I can assure you, none of you can win. God's stronger. So don't wrestle against Him. Let Him have it. Just let Him have it all. You can trust Him. Do we have any birthdays or anniversaries?